The reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at the first verse. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. This is the word of the Lord.
Over the summer, we're going to be looking at this series, Movers and Shakers. I hope you like the graphic there, where the impossible becomes possible. I was only reading this week about a pastor who, every dictionary he's got at home, he actually goes into it and he finds the word impossible and actually cuts it out of his dictionary. He said, because if it's not in God's dictionary, it's not in mine either. We believe in a God who can do everything. Can I have an amen for that? We are called to be a people of faith. And when you're around people of faith, as Sue and I often are, it is inspiring. And you want to spend more time with them, because actually the world just seems a little bit brighter. And there's more of a spring in your step. And so over the summer, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 11. And so if you want to be reading through that with us week by week, that would be wonderful. Looking at ordinary lives, people just like you and me, in a different context, yes, some rich, some poor, some well-positioned, others not. And yet the common thread with all of these lives was that they dared to believe in God. They dared to believe that what seemed impossible was possible. In the passage that we read, it said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And as I've been getting to know and love you as your pastor over these years, I know we all want to please God, don't we? And so faith for us is absolutely critical. It's critical for every aspect of our lives. And so over the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at all kinds of aspects of faith. It's like a diamond, it's multifaceted. This morning, we're just going to be introducing the subject for you. And asking the question, so what is faith? And if I was to ask you that question, I'm sure we'd have lots of answers. But first of all, what I think faith isn't. Faith isn't really trying to believe in something you know isn't true, but you want to be true. It's like the child coming out of an exam really praying that Madrid is the capital of Paris and really believing that that is, of France, and that is really the case. Well, no, it's not. Or hoping something, really hoping something is true because you really want it to happen. Like, I really want Wales. I was going to write, I really want Wales to win the next World Cup. But actually, what I'm going to know, I really want Wales to win something. I mean, anything. Do you know what I mean? And of course, we face Japan again next weekend, and so I'm not so full of confidence. But I hope we're going to win. And faith is also not a feeling. It's incredible, actually, as Christians, how we often allow our feelings to determine our actions. And actually, faith often means we have to put our feelings to one side, because how many of us have actually been asked by God to step up and step out, and the feeling of fear is so real, and we just have to put that one side. So what is faith? Well, here's one definition. Faith is seeing from God's point of view. Faith is seeing from God's point of view. In verse 1 of Hebrews 11, it says, "Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see." In the New Living Translation, it puts it like this. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. Faith is primarily about vision, what we can or cannot see. Faith is seeing from God's point of view. About 2 years ago, on our church away day, I took you to a passage in the Old Testament, and I want to take us there again. It's in 2 Kings chapter 6, and what we have here, we have a situation where we have the prophet Elisha, and he's got a servant with him, and he is surrounded by the Syrian army. And the servant gets up in the morning, he's going to, you know, put the fire on, get a cup of coffee, you know, put the croissants out, and Elisha is still having a kip. And the servant looks up and he sees this vast army, and he knows that their situation is critical. So let me just read the passage to you. "Now the king of Aram, or Syria, was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, 'I will set up my camp in such and such a place.' The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, 'Beware of passing that place, because the Armenians are going down there.' So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places." God gave insight to Elisha to be able to see things that others couldn't see. "This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, 'Will you not tell me which of us is on the side of the king of Israel?'" They thought there was a spy in the camp. "None of us, my lord the king," said one of his officers, "but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom." "Go find out where he is," the king ordered, "so I can send men and capture him." The report came back, "He's in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. You can just picture the scene, can't you? "And when the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh my Lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked." "Don't be afraid," the prophet answered. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Fear turned to faith because God opened the servant's eyes. I've said this to you on so many occasions, that actually we have a situation we have to face every day, where we're going to look at either the provision and the greatness and the power of God, or we're going to focus on the issue or the problem or the challenge that is facing us. And so if we understand our God in a biblical context, we know that he is huge. He has all of the resources. But so often we forget that. And what we look at, and I'm not trying to belittle this, I think it's just a part of our humanity. This is what we naturally do. Is that we look at the issue, and I've said this on you on so many occasions, that if the issue is that finger there, and if we focus on that finger, all of the resources and all the strength that's in this hand, if you stare at that long enough, will disappear. I was going to ask, do you want to try it now? No. I do it at home. Because actually, I have tried this, and it just works. This hand disappears. And that's what happens to us, actually, when we look at these real awful problems that sometimes we encounter. Sometimes it's a material problem. Maybe we're skint and we just don't know where the next pound's going to come from. Maybe it was that really bad consultant's appointment that you had and the news isn't what you were hoping for. It could be all manner of things. And so what we do, we focus on this thing that is scaring us. And it just becomes bigger and bigger in the window. And here we have all of the resources of God. And if we're not careful, they just disappears. And what God is saying to us, and what I think he's challenging us to do over this series in the summer, is look at the people who dared to step back. Instead of focusing on the problems which are real and which are difficult and painful, but actually see the God of heaven who wants to come and embrace us in that problem. It's the ability to see from God's perspective. I want to take you to another passage now, one that will be very familiar to you, and that is the two disciples following the crucifixion are walking away from Jerusalem. They're on the road to Emmaus. They're downcast. By the way, Jesus has raised from the dead at this point, but you wouldn't know that by looking at their body language or actually their conversation. They weren't aware that God was alive again in Jesus. And we read this. When he was at the table, Jesus had been walking with them and talking with them and asking them why they were so downcast, why they were so sad. And then they stopped and they persuaded him to come and eat with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. This is what we hear. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. And they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scripture to us? They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. These people who were so downcast, you can imagine their steps like this. All of a sudden, they're like Usain Bolt heading back towards Jerusalem because they had seen the Lord. God had opened their eyes to enable them to see. And that is the prayer for Sue and for me and for each of us, that actually we would see through God's eyes the problems and the challenges facing this church, this community, this world. Because if we see it through the lens of our humanity, we can only be downcast. But if we see it through the lens of who God is and all he wants to do in this world, and through people like us, ordinary people like us, then all of a sudden what's impossible becomes possible. I want to share with you that I've obviously been preaching on faith for a long time, but I've had to be living it for longer. And I find faith scary. Anybody? See, because faith actually, in its essence, is actually trusting God because we've used up our resources. Would you agree? See, faith is about when we no longer are able to control a situation. And we are brought up to control situations. As a man, I was always taught that I had to solve the problems. And I tried to do that. I tried to do that in our home. I tried to do it with our kids. I've tried to do it in work. I've tried to do it in church or whatever. But there are times when you think, I can't solve this. I shared with you about probably the most painful thing that's ever happened in our life. Was when our son nearly died. It was a beautiful summer's day. Jonathan had got poorly. I wasn't aware. I was out doing some church work. And at 10 o'clock at night, I got asked to come back from the youth project I was involved in. I had to come home immediately because my son was poorly. And so that's all I got home. And you know the story. Sue and I then had to take Jonathan to hospital in Torbay. We were told that night that he may not last the night. And that day is etched. There's not many days I don't see it, actually. We're going over to see our boy this afternoon, and he recovered, and he had meningitis. But he recovered and he's fine and it's wonderful. But at that time, we had no idea. I remember as Sue and I were on our knees next to the bed. I couldn't fix that problem. I was totally beyond any of the resources I had. We just cried out to God. And you see, the thing is, and please hear this, I'm not the kind of pastor who believes that we pray a prayer and God just clicks his fingers and things are always answered the way we want to see them. And so when we knelt at that bedside, the hardest prayer I've had to pray is, Lord, if you're going to take him, you take him. Please, God, don't. I've never felt so bankrupt of resources or power in my life. You see, faith is about putting our trust into somebody who we know we can trust. And even if the answer had been different, I can't tell you what my response would have been, because obviously I thankfully didn't have to face that. But so many of our brothers and sisters have to trust in God and put faith in him when there isn't a happy ever after on this earth. And there are too many guys like me that make you feel guilty that perhaps you didn't have enough faith or all this kind of rubbish. We're actually, look guys, the reality is when we're talking about faith is that we live in a cruel, twisted world. And terrible, horrible, dark things happen. And they happen to Christians and they happen to non-Christians. When Angie prayed this morning about what's happened in Texas, how do you relate to that? It's a Christian camp. Parents lovingly sending off their children to hear more about Jesus. And then snuffed out. Extinguished. Mike was telling me that the river rose 20-something feet in 45 minutes. You see, the thing is, and the older we get, the more cynical we become about what is happening in this world. Would you agree with that? And so what happens, instead of our hearts becoming more tender and more receptive to the things of God, he finds it much, much harder to get in, because we build this wall of cynicism around us, because we see so much gut-wrenching evil out there and darkness, and we wonder, where the heck was God in that? Am I the only one who thinks that? And so when we're talking about faith, please take away this Disney idea of faith about it's always going to be a happy ending. It ain't like that. And actually, when you read Hebrews 11, you hear these incredible acts of faith. And then you read about those who were sawn in asunder, those who were burnt alive. And it says of those people, the world was not worthy of them. I had a conversation with somebody just recently talking about a village being attacked. And they were attacked because these people were Christian. And they didn't spare anybody. That's happening in our world now. And so how do we look at those situations? If we look at them with just our raw humanity, I think that what happens there is that our faith diminishes. And so I have to take all of my raw humanity and I have to put it again at the foot of the cross. The God who understands pain, the God who understands suffering, the God who understands rejection and betrayal. And I have to come to him and say, God, I might have been your pastor now for all these years, but the older I get, the less I understand. Would you help me again today to just throw myself at your feet and trust that you in your sovereign grace and goodness will actually make some sense of this carnage that we see called the world? I want it to be a series where we really wrestle with some of the things that we dare not talk about in church, because it sounds as if actually we don't trust God. Well, actually, God understands our doubts. You read the Psalms. Oh my goodness, how many times was David yelling at God about what was going on? See, I actually see that as a sign of maturity. You see, what I get scared of is that we pretend that we have this faith, but actually we've been so hurt or so damaged by some of the stuff that's happened to us. Our relationship with God is actually quite distant because we've built this almost like a steel barrier around our hearts. And whenever that happens, the church of God dies. You see, we need to be. See, when Jesus talks about following him, and when we serve the communion, and I will often do this, and Jesus took the bread and broke it and said, "My body, which is given for you." And I say, when I look into the hands of my Savior, yes, of course, I see incredible love, but I also see gashes where the nails were. You see, because that's love. You know, the love that took him to the cross so that I can be part of his family again. You see, that's the kind of faith, that's the kind of reality that I hope that we're able to reach as a church. Please hear this. I pray to God that we will see more and more people healed through the life of this church. But not everyone will be healed. And so what happens to our faith then? I remember one of my heroes as a young Christian man was a guy called David Watson. Anybody like David Watson? He was an Anglican minister, and God used him in the most incredible way to heal so many people and lead so many people to Christ. And he died very young of cancer. How many times is that repeated? And there's something within us, hardwired deep inside us, saying, where's God in that? Well, I haven't got a clue, frankly. I haven't got a clue, but then again, I'm not God. And what God wants of us is a trust that says, Lord, whilst I do not know and I do not understand, I dare to believe that you are good, you are God, and you are here. Right in the carnage, right in the mess. And when you look around the world right now, it is a mess. When I look at America, it terrifies me. See, the people that are actually leading that country terrifies me. When I see the rise of the right wing right across Europe, and you hear the echoes of what happened in the 20s and the 30s, and you hear it again, it is terrifying. And it's happening in our land. And you hear it through things like, it's them, you know. It's them. It's their fault. That's why. And we saw so much of it under that really unhelpful and unholy thing around Brexit, where families became separated because of this ideologue and this philosophy that was different. But it broke my heart. This world that we're living in now, that actually just wants to separate all of the time. And when you look at God and you look at the Trinity, he wants us to be one. He wants us to love one another. He wants us to embrace people, especially those on the margins. So where do we put our faith? And what is faith in a climate like that? So do you see why I think that faith is scary? The scariest thing, probably, I've shared with you that Sue likes to take me to high mountains and tall buildings when she knows I'm terrified of heights. Sue has told me that she has read the insurance policy, and apparently it is okay if I... I am so scared of so many things. Heights. Abseiling. I've done that. Rock climbing. I've done that. Caving. I've done that. Hated every minute of it. I saw on television last night some people jumping out of a plane. Somebody said to me, Dave, would you like to do that with me? No. Because I'm terrified of heights. But please hear this. I'm also terrified to take steps of faith. And God says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. I hope you don't mind me being honest with you, because as a pastor, of course, we're not supposed to be afraid of anything. I'm afraid of most things. And yet, when we've dared to trust God, I remember it took 5 years for Sue and me to actually come to the conclusion that God was calling us into the ministry. I had a reasonable role. We had a reasonable salary. We had little children. And it came to a point where we were convinced that the Lord was leading us into that. So we put our house up for sale. And we were going to go into Bible college. Well, the house didn't sell. And the grant that we were supposed to receive, we didn't get. And I've shared this with you before. Our income was something like 80 or 90 pounds a month. Our mortgage was 500 and something pounds a month. We literally were so up the creek without a paddle. And yet we saw God again and again and again come through. I've shared the story with you about going to college and having to give the fees. Now, I thought I needed to give the fees at the end of the term, but I had to give them at the beginning. And I think, I can't remember the exact number. Say it was £1,200. We didn't have 1,200p. So I said to the bursar, leave it with me. Went home. We prayed, please, God, help. Sue, in her wisdom, we had a nice big home. It hadn't sold, so it was still nice, a big home, and it was ours. And Sue said, let's get some students in. So Sue went to Trowbridge College, I think, wasn't it? And went there, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, my business hat on, this will take months, you know, nothing will happen. And within a couple of days, we got a phone call to say that a student would like to come and stay with us, but the family would come and like to have a look. And so they came. It was a Greek family, and the mum and dad came over. The dad was a doctor. The son was training to be a doctor. And the boy didn't want to stay with us because he wanted to be in the centre of Cardiff where all the parties were. And the family wanted him to be with us because they wanted to be with the family. So anyway, he said, yes, we will want this room, and our son will stay here. And can we pay you, please? And I'm thinking he's going to pay me a month or something. He said, we'd like to pay you in advance. And he opened his briefcase, and without a word of a lie, it was like something out of the Bond films. There was just cash everywhere. And I'm looking at burr, 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 look at all that money. And he handed over 1,200 and something pounds. Wow. After they went, we had a prayer time. And it was something like, oh my word, Lord. Oh my word. And we gave the money to the bursar. They had no idea. We've never forgotten that. And you know, I could tell you so many stories of that period when we were so out of our comfort zone. But God again and again and again and again ministered. So, please hear this. And I want there to be more testimonies over the summer. We receive the blessings of God when we begin to see things from his perspective, but we're also prepared to move out of our comfort zone and just say, God, unless you show up. And that's why, and next February, we're going to have a church day away. It's on the 28th of February. Put it in your diary already. As you know, Sue and I are going on sabbatical. And when we come back, we want to share with you, obviously, all the things that God has been putting on our heart. But something that's already been put in our heart is that I believe that God is calling us as a church to attempt things that are absolutely impossible for us to achieve unless God shows up. I don't want us to be in a church meeting where what we do is go around and actually think about what limited resources we've got and actually tell God what we can do. That's what churches do again and again and again. That's not what we're called to. We're called to be a church that sees things from his perspective. So it's not about spending money or investing in anything we want. But when we hear what he is saying for us and for this community, we go, Lord, gulp. We haven't got the resources for that. And he's saying, I know, but I have. And I will provide. Anybody want to go on that journey?
Yes.
Do you know, and think about it though. Because it's so uncomfortable. Because the things that we're talking about, Sue and I have been in, during that period, Sue and I were absolutely terrified about some of the things that we were facing. I'm not just talking about the health of our son, I'm talking about the fact that, you know, where are we going to pay the next bill from? And yet God again and again and again provided. I have said this, and I'll finish with it, that the older we get, as long as we haven't put that steel wall around our hearts through cynicism, the easier it gets to believe in God. And do you know why? Because we have a back library of God's faithfulness and provision again and again. I've mentioned just one or two big things there. There will be many other smaller things that you just go, oh my goodness, God, you're so kind. You see, and I stand before you as somebody, and I mentioned earlier about some of the horrible things, and I don't understand what's going on. But I do believe in a good God. I believe in a great God, actually, whose heart breaks over what he sees humanity doing to humanity, which is why, of course, he came. He came to reconcile us. He came to redeem us. He came to bring us into that family. And that is the invitation that we take out to the world to say, do you want something of God's wholeness and purpose and life and healing and movement in you? And of course, this world is desperate for it. And you and I are the carriers of that message. And my prayer is that even in this confused, twisted world, we would see more shafts of light because God's children dared to believe and dared to see through his eyes. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we wish the world was different. We wish that people weren't so cruel. We wish that people weren't so power hungry. We wish that some of these horrible sicknesses that we hear of just weren't there. Or these tragedies that we've talked about this morning, that they don't happen. But Lord, this is the world we live in. And so we pray, Father, that you would please do a couple of things for us. Would you, one, help us to peel back that steel from our hearts and allow you in? Father, would you take away our cynicism and hard-heartedness? And indeed, Lord, would you just soften our hearts? But as somebody once said, that you would harden our feet. That, Lord, that we would have the courage to go to places that we don't frankly want to go and do the things we want to do. Because you have commissioned us to go. So, Father, help us, we pray, to be people of faith. And Lord, as we pore over this subject over these next few weeks, grow us, stretch us, strengthen us, liberate us. Not just for our sakes, but that we might shine like stars in the universe. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's say the grace to one another. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.
Amen.